It can be a sexy subject, venture capital, and also a daunting subject to some. Yet many experts say there's never been a better time to invest in venture capital. Our own guest expert has a lot to say on this subject, and it's coming up here on another edition of Your Money Manual. And here's the host of Your Money Manual, the CEO of Wealth Strategies Advisory Group and creator of the Household Endowment Model, Vince Annable.
And welcome to Your Money Manual, an educational program we created because we know that when it comes to investing, your money does not come with instructions. So our objective is to provide you with a fresh perspective on wealth management that will help you grow, preserve, and protect your assets so you can build a secure financial legacy for yourself, for your heirs, and anybody else you'd like to build one for. Along with producer Jeff Allen, I'm Vince Annable, and on this edition of the program, I am very excited to have a good friend and guest, Carter Williams. We're going to talk about venture capital, why that's attractive, and I think that you will have a very keen sense of why you want to look at venture capital for a portion of your portfolio after you've heard from our special guest, Carter Williams. He is the founder, CEO, managing director of iSelect Fund out of St. Louis. He is one of the smartest guys I've ever met or encountered in the venture capital world. He used to head up Boeing Ventures. I know everybody out there has probably heard of Boeing Aircraft. Well, they had a lot of money they wanted to put into technology and into venture capital, and they selected Carter to be the guy to head that section up for Boeing. And he's currently the, as I said, CEO, founding managing partner for iSelect Fund. And first of all, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you, Vince.
Last week, we Jeff and I were talking about public investments, public securities, and we were i.e. stocks and bonds. And we were also talking about private investments that are not publicly traded, that do not change value on a daily basis. And we talked a little bit about why there is a spot in a portfolio for private investments, because they offer what David Swensen from Yale University refers to as the illiquidity premium. So if you wouldn't mind, could you just give us a little overview of that illiquidity premium, what that means, and at the same time, maybe give us an example of one or two companies that may have been privately held back in 2007, 2008, 2009, survived all of that and came out with stellar colors?
A long question, but sometimes people think there's an illiquidity discount. If you invest in something like a house, you can't sell it right away. I can buy stock. I did buy some stock today and sold it right away after it went up a little bit. But illiquid is you can't sell it easily. They pay a lower price because they can't get out of it. There's also the concept of an illiquidity premium, which comes first from that you can buy it at a cheaper price, but that also that because you can't trade it, if they run into trouble and they're figuring out their business plan and they get to the other side and worth a lot more, that you haven't traded away. And the fact that that money stays in the hands of the entrepreneur allows them to really drive through value. And no matter what the market does, there's an opportunity to grow. And a good example of that is Facebook is one example. There was a period of time where Yahoo came and made them an offer for, I think, a couple $100 million. And the board wanted to move, but Zuckerberg didn't. Now, if that had been a public company, they may very well have sold for $200 million. But because Zuckerberg was able to persuade the board to stay pat and stay in the investment, they continued to marshal on. And a couple of years later, I think I went public for about, what was it, about $40
billion? Yeah.
So that's a good example of the illiquidity premium, the patience to ride through the investment and ride through the uncertainty and get to the other side pays off big time.
Thank you. Great example. I remember 2008, 2009, and everybody thought the world was coming to an end, but a lot of those privately held venture companies were just moving right along, doing what they specialized in, and came out quite nice. So give us an idea of why an investor would want to look at venture capital as part of their portfolio, and maybe give a description of what venture capital, what that term means, what that category is.
So historically, venture capital is the highest performing asset class. Year over year, over the long term, it outperforms every other asset. It is uncorrelated, meaning, you know, the stock market, for example, went down last week and our portfolio stayed the same. It was unaffected. It's uncorrelated typically because entrepreneurs are focused on something of inherent value. If you're working on a new cancer drug, a new technology that delivers productivity, the market really doesn't care and won't change the value because somebody changed the interest rate or something else. So an example of what we mean by venture can be as little as two fellows with an idea sitting down and starting a business. You know, somebody like a Steve Jobs and Wozniak sitting down and saying they wanted to make computers. If they went to a bank would laugh at them, but they find a few people that are willing to write checks, and those people write checks and they buy equity in the firm because nobody can really loan any money at that point. There are no assets to loan against. And they start a company and they start selling computers, and people continue to invest in the equity to see the opportunity. And it's typically an equity investment. The best kind of venture capital opportunities are ones that involve some real intellectual property and building something new.
So, Carter, are those types of investments risky? What kind of risk is attached?
Well, I think everything in the world has risk. It's a matter of parsing the risk. If you're in the stock market last week, that was pretty risky. When you're in venture, it has its risks. And the ways to mitigate the risk in venture capital is to diversify. So rather than invest in one startup introduced by your brother's son on the golf course, that's a risky deal. But the way we approach it is we look at 1,500 companies a year. We evaluate them. We do due diligence on them. And after evaluating them, we may invest in as little as 20. The other way to reduce the risk is to invest along with other smart investors that have been successful. And the other is to make sure that you pay attention to them after you've invested them. If you have children, you should probably keep track of them as they grow up, and all young companies need some help along the way. And if you pay attention to those types of things, you also reduce the risk.
Carter, can you tell us why more people do not invest in venture?
We concentrated on this when we created iSelect. We looked hard at the question. We thought it was risk initially. Then as we dug through it, we discovered that there was risk and opportunity. And the answer is only about 3% of accredited investors make this type of investment. We discovered the principal reason why they did not have access. They didn't have the time to look at 1,500 companies and select 20. They didn't have the ability. Most venture funds have a $10 million minimum, and they couldn't make that minimum. And in other cases, they were not aware of it because their financial advisor was not giving them information about it. So the practical reality is more of an issue of access.
You are familiar with the household endowment model. Most of those who listen to our podcast have heard us discuss our household endowment model and how we came upon developing that based off of the 2008-2009 crash, if you will, and our discovery of what David Swensen was doing managing Yale University's endowment fund. How does venture fit into something like our household endowment model for our accredited investors?
Venture has been a very key part of the Yale endowment model. Very large part of the Yale endowment model, in part because the benefactor of the Yale endowment model never moves on. It's Yale.
Yeah, they have no expiration date.
There is no expiration date, unless YouTube takes over the world and mitigates the need for a degree. But other than that, what Yale has found is that the venture investment provides two key important things. One, the core investment delivers about a 15% internal rate of return. And that is because they've diversified across hundreds of venture funds and deals and can benefit from that. Two, as deals mature, as companies mature, as they get bigger, the opportunity avails itself for them to invest more money in those startups. It's called a participation right, and they have the exclusive right to do that. So what we generally recommend to people who won't live forever is that they think of investing in the household endowment model around 3 or 4% of liquid net worth, and then leaving aside about maybe 2 or 3% as deals. If you invest in 20 or 30 deals and a couple of them really, really start to take off, that you use that opportunity to go ahead and invest more.
Thanks, Carter. We certainly do include your team and philosophy in the household endowment model. And I guess in closing, maybe you could give us a little insight into who iSelect is. This is your company that you have founded and created a great team around you. What are just maybe a highlight of iSelect's philosophy and how you go about doing what you do in selecting venture capital firms?
Okay. So we are we have a core team of about 11 people internally that are looking at opportunities all the time. We have around us about 70 proven entrepreneurs. These are people who have built and sold companies. They've been key scientists. They've established themselves. They're 50, 60, 70 years old, and they are knowledgeable about particular domains that we work in, experts in their field, and they help advise us. When we look at opportunities, we're very thesis-driven, meaning that we are very focused in areas like agriculture and healthcare. We pay attention to what's going on in the market. For example, we might look at Alzheimer's and see that that's a market opportunity. We'll see that there have been a lot of drug failures recently, and then realize that one of the reasons there have been drug failures is there is a 40% false positive rate for Alzheimer's tests. So they're trying to give drugs to people that actually don't have Alzheimer's. Huh. And so we see that as an opportunity to then look at diagnostic tests. And so we dig in and look for 30 companies in diagnostics and pick that as our portfolio of companies that we're going to invest in. So it's a very, very driven process, very science-based. We pay a lot of attention to the size of the markets, and we have a lot of advisors around us who both help us evaluate the transactions, go through the diligence, and then and help us make the investments. In many cases, they invest alongside us.
Well, folks, today you've gotten a really clear overview of what venture capital looks like, why we like, from our standpoint, investing for our clients in the household endowment model. We like using venture capital and want to include that in our portfolios for our clients. And when you go looking for venture capital, this might be something you want to find an advisor who actually knows what they're doing and can have a serious discussion and have some key people around them who do nothing but venture capital. I don't recommend this as something that investors want to do at home on their own. This is not a great do-it-yourself project. Seek some professional help. And if you want to seek out some professional help, you can always Google Carter Williams, iSelect Fund, and you can get more information from Carter on what it is they do and how they do it. Their website is extensive in information, I can tell you that. You can go to the householdendowmentmodel.com and take a look at our video if you haven't done so, or one of our white papers. And one of the white papers that we do have on there is one that we wrote along with Carter, and it's on venture capital. You can go to WSAG, WSAGAZ.com, which is the official website for Wealth Strategies Advisory Group. You can call me directly at 888-635-9724. And Carter, I would like to thank you very much for coming on today. It was very timely after our discussion last week. I'm glad we were able to get you on. Any closing comments you'd like to make?
invest carefully and with the endowment model.
There you go. Okay. So over the next few shows, we are going to be taking a much deeper dive into our wealth management process. We are going to have some members of our tax planning team on a call coming up over the next 30 days. And we're also going to have one of our private client attorneys on to discuss estate planning and how all of this ties in together. One last idea when it comes to estate planning is something that you can use venture capital for. It's a great asset class to be invested in and continually letting it grow, something that you can pass on to your children and grandchildren, and they will be most happy that you have done so. So with that, I want to thank everybody for checking in today, and we will see you next week.
And thank you, Vince. We'll see you on the next show. If you like what you hear on Your Money Manual, connect with Wealth Strategies Advisory Group on Facebook and LinkedIn. Give us a thumbs up, share shows and posts with your friends and colleagues, and let us know if you have a question on a topic we've covered or if you have an idea for a discussion on a future show. We hope you enjoyed this edition of Your Money Manual with Vince Annable. Until next time, thanks again for listening. This program has been presented for the education of our listeners only and is not intended as investment advice, nor is it intended as a solicitation of investment products or services of any kind. We encourage you to seek the advice of a licensed professional financial advisor before making any investment decisions.